Jagri Mataji. I should repeat again. Today's class will be given by Sukh Sagari Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Please take. I turn over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, and thank you to all the devotees who very graciously give me a chance to purify myself by being in your association, though I am totally unworthy of it. We'll start with the prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Giriraj Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Today we will be continuing with Chaitanya Charitamrita study, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 142 through 144, hopefully. The Madhya Leela chapter is titled, The Process of Devotional Service. Here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami. Again, this is one of the very important sections of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita because it explains a devotional service in great detail. And in this particular section, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually talking about the two types of devotional service. One is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and the other is the spontaneous Raga Anuga Bhakti. So he is just explaining the various details as to what regulations and what rules must be followed for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, a person who is engaged in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And we are almost coming to the end of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and in about two or three verses, they will start discussing the spontaneous bhakti. So we see that at this point of time in this chapter, the qualities of very, very advanced or pure devotees are being discussed, and which may not straight away apply to personally speaking me or many of us here, because at this stage he is discussing qualities of really somebody who is at a very pure level of devotional service. So with this background, I'd like to go ahead and read the verse. This is verse number 142.
विधि धर्म छाड़ी भजे कृष्णेर चरना निषिद्ध पापाचारे तर कभु नहि माना.
Translation: although the pure devotee does not follow all the regulative principles of varnashrama, he worships the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, he naturally has no tendency to commit sin. I'll just go over all the translations. The next verse is
Ajnane vahaya yadi papa upasthita Krishna tanhare shudhakare nakaraya prayaschita.
If, however, a devotee accidentally becomes involved in a sinful activity, Krishna purifies him. He does not have to undergo the regulative form of atonement. And verse number 144, this is actually quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam, so it follows a different meter.
Svapadamulam bhajata priyasya tyaktyanya bhavasya hari paresha vikarmaya chotpatitam kathanchit dhunoti sarvam hridi sannivishtha.
One who has given up everything and taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to Krishna. If he is involved in some sinful activity by accident, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within him, within everyone's heart, removes his sins without difficulty. So this subject matter over here deals with how, first of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that a devotee by nature does not commit sin, because the tendency to commit sin is eradicated by the process of devotional service. Elsewhere also in Srimad Bhagavatam and many other instances, we have seen that, which I'll go through further, that even the prarabdha karma of a devotee, of a person who is following devotional service, even that can be eradicated. So there are so many instances like that which are given in our scriptures, like how devotional service is so powerful. The nectar of devotion itself speaks. There is an analogy which is given in the nectar of devotion that says that devotional service is like the forest fire, which can actually eat up all these snakes. Snakes are the sinful desires. Snakes are compared to the sinful desires of the human beings. Devotional service is compared to a forest fire, which actually can eat up the snakes. And a particular analogy here, the analogy is important because Rupa Goswami goes on to say that these animals are not, any four-legged animals or birds. The sinful desires are compared to snakes, just for the reason because when there is a forest fire, the snakes are right at the, they are generally living underground or, on the ground. So when there is a forest fire, these other animals still have a chance to escape. Like the birds can fly away. The four-legged animals can run away. But the snakes have no other option other than to perish in the forest fire. So this analogy is given, and the sins of of a particular living entity are compared to snakes in this analogy and not any other animals, because the snakes will surely perish in a forest fire. So that is how powerful devotional service is, in eradicating our sins. But we have to be careful in the sense that, as we will see further when we discuss those verses as to what kind of sins we are looking at, and also, when a devotee commits a sin, how does it happen, or what kind of sin is admissible or what is not admissible, like that. So here it says, in verse number 142, the translation goes again as, although the pure devotee does not follow all the regulative principles of Varnashrama, he worships the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, he naturally has no tendency to commit sin. So here, the two important words which at least stand out to me are the pure devotee who does not follow the regulative principles of Varnashrama. So Varnashrama is actually a system, as we all know, to make the community with, you know, where living entities have different propensities, to make them all come together and live together in a coordinated fashion just for the service of Krishna. So in the purport, I'll go ahead and read the purport. The Varnashrama institution is planned in such a way that one will not commit sinful activities. Material existence continues due to sinful activity. When one acts sinfully in this life, he gets a suitable body for the next life. When one again acts sinfully, he takes on another material body. In this way, one is continuously under the influence of material nature. Purusha prakriti stho hi bhungte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangasya sadasajyoni janmashu. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. Due to our association with the modes of material nature, we get different types of bodies, good and bad. One cannot be liberated from the cycle of birth and death, known as transmigration of the soul, unless one is completely freed from all sinful activities. The best process, therefore, is to take to Krishna consciousness. One cannot take to Krishna consciousness without being freed from all sinful activities. Naturally, one who is very serious about Krishna consciousness is free from all sinful activity. Consequently, a devotee is never inclined to commit sins. If one is pressured by the law or obligations to give up sinful activity, one cannot do so. However, if one takes to Krishna consciousness, he can very easily give up all sinful activity. This is confirmed therein. So Srila Prabhupada, though the purport says that, though the verse says that the pure devotee does not follow all the regulatory principles of Varnashrama, we go on to see in the purport that Srila Prabhupada is actually bringing out the import or the importance of the Varnashrama system, because talking at the level of a pure devotee, they may not be required to follow the regulative principles of Varnashrama. But in many of the lectures of Srila Prabhupada, we have seen that how degraded the Kali Yuga is, and Srila Prabhupada emphasizes on a system to get over, or to at least get to the platform of a human being, you know, from an animalistic existence to a human being, so that we can at least start a devotional life. The seed of devotional service, or the seed always lies dormant in every living entity. But due to the forces of material nature, due to the forces, the three modes of material nature, the living entity is covered in ignorance, and he fails to see his actual position and his actual responsibility to offer devotional service to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, in many instances, he actually, quoted that the Varnashram system is very important, especially in this Kali Yuga, where the degradation is, getting worse and worse day by day, that to bring at least people to the level of, human beings. In Kali Yuga, elsewhere where we read in the scriptures, Srila Prabhupada compares the human beings to hogs, dogs, and camels. So these people are generally very busy trying to praise the other hogs, dogs, and camels, and they are not like their ears are not trained to hear the glories of the Supreme Lord. They don't have any taste for devotional service. They don't have any taste for spirituality because they are so engrossed in material growth and success and material pursuits that their ears are, you know, like the ears of a snake. Like, they just don't have the ears for devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada says that when the people are at such an animalistic level, the Varnashrama system at least can, you know, pull them out of this animalistic level and bring them to a level of human beings where at least they will be following basic rules and regulations of Varnashrama Dharma. So when they follow these basic rules and regulations of Varnashrama Dharma, gradually by the process of the Varnashrama Dharma, they will be elevated to such a platform where they can start their devotional life and then move on, you know, following the practices of devotional service and perhaps eventually attain the platform of a pure devotee. It does seem like a very long shot, I mean, given this, the pathetic state of Kali Yuga, but then with Prabhupada's, you know, guidance and with his spiritual mercy, it is of course possible. Like, once in an interview, a person asked Srila Prabhupada, like, how long does it take, you know, for one to take to the devotional process, or how long does it take to become a devotee? So Prabhupada's answer was, not even a second, you know, he can become a devotee the very next moment. So it depends on our level of surrender too. And it's not only that, the, like they often say, the mercy is there everywhere, like how the rain falls everywhere. But then the seed which is, you know, waiting to germinate, which is in a proper prime, you know, situation, it takes advantage of the rain and blooms into a nice, you know, a plant or a flower, whatever it is. But for somebody who is not receptive to take that mercy, he does not take, the plant may rot, you know, they may not even be in a condition to even take in that mercy. So the mercy is always there, but then it always depends on our effort also to take up that mercy, to seek that spiritual guidance, to seek that, you know, association of devotees and to advance that way. So Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the importance of Varnashrama Dharma. Basically, varnas and ashramas are the occupation, in simple terms, the occupation and the, you know, the category or the, how do I say, the social life in which you are situated, the part of life in which you are, phase of life you are situated in. So these are the varnas and ashramas. I'm sorry, I'm not going into the details of the varnas and ashramas. I'm sure everybody is very well versed with those terms. So I'm not going into what are the varnas and ashramas here. So, so the importance of varnashrama is, though the verse talks that varnashrama is, you know, it kind of, you know, for a pure devotee, it says that the varnashrama principles are not really necessary. But then we have to understand that for a practicing devotee who is a sadhaka, he has to be and he has to fit into the varnashrama institution. Otherwise, it will result in chaos. We also see in the Bhagavad Gita how much when Arjuna is giving reasons, you know, multiple reasons to Krishna as to why he will not fight the battle, one of his reasons is Varnashankara, that is unwanted progeny. So he is telling Krishna that when all the elders and the men of the families, they die in the wars, then what's going to happen is the women of the family will be left with no direction, no guidance, and this will give rise to unwanted progeny. So Varnashrama system is, so he is actually again alluding to the importance of a Varnashrama system there, you know, which is very, very important for the healthy running of an of the system of, you know, human beings. So But then again, in Kali Yuga, because of the very same reasons which impel us, to have a Varnashrama system in place, the very same reasons actually make it all the more difficult to have a Varnashrama system in place, because people are so blinded with their own egos, with their own claims to success, and people are busy inventing and making their own religion and religious purposes, that the actual religious purpose, Vedesha Sarve Raham Veda Vedyo, that the actual purpose of the Varnashrama system, which is to actually worship Krishna, is lost, because they are coming up with their own religions, like Prabhupada says, all the false religions in place. And because of this, the actual purpose of Varnashrama is lost. So it is not so easy to establish a very concrete Varnashrama system in the Kali Yuga. But nevertheless, it is the greatest need for Kali Yuga, because people are at such an animalistic level that they cannot even think about God at this level. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that a pure devotee, he does not have to follow the regulative principles of Varnashrama, and because he worships the lotus feet of Krishna, therefore he naturally has no tendency to commit sin. So the heart of a pure devotee is, when he is at such an advanced stage, is filled with Krishna and thoughts of Krishna. So naturally, when Krishna takes over his heart, so the tendency to commit sins are also reduced. This is also explained elsewhere as to how, in the form of the super soul, Krishna protects the devotee from committing any sins. And he also absolves the devotee if he commits any sins. So we see here that due to the modes of material nature, we get different types of bodies, good and bad. But this process of transmigration of the soul can be, can be gotten over, or can we can get over this process of transmigration by taking to Krishna consciousness. So by taking to Krishna consciousness, not only do we get over this process of samsara or repeated birth and death, but we also this in turn actually means that we are also eradicated of our sins. Because unless we are totally eradicated of our sins, we cannot get over the cycle of samsara or repeated birth and death. So a devotee is in such a position that by devotional service, he is totally eradicated of his sins. In this context, I would like to quote one verse from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which goes as follows. Yannama deva shavananu kirtanat yat pravanat yasmaranada pikvachit shvadopi sadya savanaya kalpate putapunaste bhagavannu darshanat. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of person who sees the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. So in this verse, we see that even a person born in a family of dog eaters, he becomes immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. That is, he is raised to the position of a Brahmana from the position of a dog eater. He's born in a family of dog eaters, but he's raised to the position of a Brahmana, even if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see that with devotional services, even the prarabdha karma, though you're born in, one may be born in a low family, or like a family of dog eaters, he immediately, swadopi sadhya, sadhya means immediately he becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. But that is if he takes to pure devotional service. So we may want there are still some of, you know, we do find that we are not at the pure stage of devotional service and we still have a long way to go and things. But the point here is, according as our surrender to the Lord, to that extent, you know, we get our sins eradicated. Because if we are still holding on to our material desires and trying to do devotional service also, you know, like a how the train runs on the two track, so then it's not possible to get out of this cycle of samsara. Because unless we have total surrender in the form of pure devotional service to the Lord, it is not possible to get over our sinful reactions and our karma, which can lead us to deliverance from the process of birth and death. So, but then again, like the verse quotes, like the scriptures quote, even when a person is at that pure level that he can utter the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does become eligible, you know, to even rise to the platform of Brahmana. So this is very, I thought this is an important point that we should all meditate on. Then moving on to the next verse. If, however, a devotee accidentally becomes involved in a sinful activity, Krishna purifies him. He does not have to undergo the regulative form of atonement. So, here the words accidentally, is very important to understand. A devotee by himself or herself does not commit sins, you know, in knowledge. So it is... We have to understand accidentally in the sense that something he is totally unaware of, you know, when a devotee is not even aware of that fact that there is some, you know, accidental sin happening. That's what is being referred to here. Krishna purifies him. So it does not by any way, you know, we should not get the wrong intention that a devotee can commit any sin and then go chant, you know, in the morning and all his sins or his or her sins will be eradicated. That's not the idea we get from here. It's only that when a devotee accidentally becomes involved in a sinful activity, Krishna actually purifies him. He does not have to undergo the regulative form of atonement. So in this context, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Krishna purifies from within as the Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within the heart. This is described in the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.42. So next, that verse is being discussed, and I'd like to go to the Srimad Bhagavatam verse. The purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in the previous verse it was clearly described that a fully surrendered devotee of the Supreme Lord has no need to perform ordinary worldly duties. Now in this verse, it is revealed that devotional service is so pure and potent that a surrendered devotee of the Lord has no need to perform any other purificatory process. As described in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a surrendered devotee has no need to perform prayaschitta or atonement for an accidental fall down into sinful activity. Since devotional service is itself the most purifying process, a sincere devotee who has accidentally stumbled on the path should immediately resume his pure devotional service at the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus the Lord will protect him, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Apichet Suduracharo Bhajate Mamananya Bhag Sadureva Samantavya Samyag Vyavastohi Saha. So here also, the importance of devotional service in eradicating the sins is again discussed. And not only the process of devotional service for, as a purificatory process, it also says that there is no need for atonement for a devotee. And then a reference is made to the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where actually the life of Ajamil is being discussed. And Parikshit Maharaj, he questions, he asks about the ending part, the final portion of Canto 5, it discusses various kinds of sins and, you know, what are the hellish planets, a person who commits sins, you know, where all he can go to, the hellish conditions and all that is being discussed. So Parikshit Maharaj is very curious to know, you know, so what to do to get over these kind of hellish conditions, because the hellish conditions described in Canto 5 at the end of Canto 5 are so scary and ghastly that Parikshit Maharaj is curious to know, so how can one person, you know, get over this kind of sinful activities and escape these hellish planets. So at that time, just give me a second, please. Yeah, so at that time, Shukadeva Goswami, he describes to Parikshit Maharaj, he does not directly delve into devotional service, but first he gives the path of Karma Kanda, wherein, you know, you can perform some purificatory sacrifices, some yajnas or some, processes that can actually get rid of these kind of sinful actions. But then Parikshit Maharaj is not very happy because he is a very intelligent soul. And this Karma Kanda, he is at the level of a pure devotee. So he understands this and he further asks, but even if you do the the purificatory activities, the sacrifices and such, the seed of the sinful desire is still there in the heart. You know, so it's not totally eradicated. So one may, even though a person may perform atonement, he may still go back to his bad ways. So atonement is not the right answer to actually get rid of sins. So there must be something higher to this. So that's when Shukadeva Goswami, he says that he gives the next step, which is, acquiring knowledge. So when one is on knowledge, he tends to avoid these mistakes. He tends to avoid these kind of sinful activities. So he says one should get the knowledge of the Vedas and, the Varnashrama system. He should follow the rules and regulations and things like that. So then Parikshit Maharaj is still not convinced, because at the end of this, when one is in knowledge, Sukadev Goswami, the verse actually gives the analogy of the leaves of the bamboo, you know, the bamboo leaves being destroyed on the ground or in the forest. So Parikshit Maharaj still further asks, but still these roots are there, you know, the roots of sinful desires are still existing. Just the superficially the leaves have been destroyed, but the roots of the sinful desires are still existing. That's when Shukadeva Goswami quotes this very famous, verse of Kechit Kevalaya Bhakti, that verse. Just one second. I'm trying to see, I had it open. Yeah, the 15th verse. Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana Agam Dhunvanti Kasnena Niharam Eva Bhaskaraha. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. So we see in this verse that in the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami, he gave the example that the dried leaves of creepers beneath the bamboo tree may be completely burnt to ashes by a fire, although the creepers may sprout again because the root is still in the ground. Similarly, because the root of sinful desire is not destroyed in the heart of a person who is cultivating knowledge but who has no taste for devotional service, there is a possibility that his sinful desires will reappear. So this is what, the effect of devotional service is being again emphasized here. So earlier the examples of karma, kanda and jnana are given, but then it still does not eradicate the desires of sinful desires totally. So then Shukadeva Goswami speaks this famous verse, wherein he says that kechit kevalaya bhakti, only by the execution of unalloyed devotional service to Vasudeva, to Lord Krishna, then the sinful desires, all kinds of sinful reactions will be destroyed completely. Completely is from the roots, from the level of the root level, they will be destroyed. So it's not just at a superficial level, but at the root level, the devotional service has the potency to eradicate sins. So we are all also seeing in this verse how jnana and karma can only get until that level, you know, to superficially eradicate our sins, but then the bhakti is the only process which actually helps to totally eradicate our sinful desires also, so that we don't commit sinful actions. So in that context, we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that a person, a pure devotee of Krishna, he doesn't even have the tendency to commit sinful desires. Because even these desires are eradicated from the heart of a person when one commits, when one takes to the process of devotional service, what to speak of actually committing, you know, sinful activities. So in the course of his devotional service, without his knowledge, without his or her knowledge, a devotee may commit a sinful activity, but then Krishna actually is so kind that he immediately absolves the devotee of the sinful reactions of it. I'll go on with the purport of 11.5.42. The word tyaktanya bhavasya in this verse is very significant. As stated in the previous verse, a pure devotee realizes clearly that all living entities, including Brahma and Shiva, are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus have no separate or independent existence. Realizing that everything and everyone is part and parcel of the Lord, a devotee automatically is not inclined to commit sinful activities by violating the order of God. However, due to the powerful influence of material nature, even a sincere devotee may be temporarily overwhelmed by an illusion and deviate from the rigid path of pure devotional service. In such a case, Lord Krishna himself, acting within the heart, removes such sinful activities. Even Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, has no power to punish a surrendered devotee who has accidentally committed sinful activities. As stated here, Krishna is Paresha, or the Supreme Lord, and all the secondary lords, such as the demigods, cannot threaten the Lord's personal devotees. In his youth, Ajamila had been a pious Brahmana engaged in the service of the Lord. Then by bad association with the prostitute, he became practically the most degraded man in the world. At the end of his life, Yamaraja sent his Yamadutas to drag away the soul of the sinful Ajamal. But the personality of Godhead immediately sent his personal associates to save Ajamal and demonstrate to Yamaraja that no secondary personality can disturb the personal devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya Pratijani hi name bhakta pranashyati. So again, this example of Ajamila is being discussed in the purport to 11.5.42, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.42. So we see that how the Vishnu Dutas came and saved Ajamil, and he was given a second chance. There's a very nice book called A Second Chance by Srila Prabhupada. I think we should all read. It's basically a summary of the sixth canto, or the life of Ajamil. The argument may be raised that Smriti Shastra states, Shruti Smriti Mamaiva Agni. The Vedic scriptures are the direct orders of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, one may ask, how can the Lord tolerate that his orders be occasionally neglected, even by his devotees? To answer this possible objection, the word priyasya is used in this verse. The devotees of the Lord are very dear to the Lord. Although the beloved child may accidentally commit an abominable activity, the loving father forgives the child, taking into consideration the actual good intentions of the child. Thus, although the devotee of the Lord does not try to exploit the Lord's mercy by requesting the Lord to free him from any future suffering, The Lord, by His own initiative, frees the devotee from the reactions to accidental fall downs. So this is the secret. The Lord, sitting as a super soul in our heart, He is so kind and merciful. He very lovingly, like the word priyasya, with lot of love and affection, what He does is, even when any of His devotees, because devotees are so dear to the Lord, He may accidentally commit any sin, He forgives it, and He also absolves the devotee of all the sinful reactions because of His accidental sins. This causeless mercy of the Lord upon His devotee is His paramaishwaryam, or supreme opulence. Gradually, the faithful devotee becomes free even from accidental fall down, because simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, what to speak of actively rendering service to Him, his heart is purified. Although the surrendered devotees of the personality of Godhead may sometimes appear to be affected by mundane attitudes, they are inevitably protected by the merciful Lord and are never actually defeated in life. So Krishna, He says, Name Bhaktya Pranashyati. He gives the word, He gives the promise. Kaunteya Prati, He asks Arjuna to proclaim, that His devotee never perishes, because that's the amount of care Krishna gives, that's the protection Krishna gives to His devotees, because devotees are very dear to Krishna. He, like it is said in the Nectar of Devotion, I think a few classes back, Kirtida Mataji was describing the effects, an effects of devotional service. Kleshada.
Mataji, can you be a little louder? Your voice is fading away a lot.
Oh, is that so? Oh, sorry. Is it clearer now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just speaking the same way. I don't know why it happened that way. Sorry about that. Klesha Agni Shubhata. She discussed the various effects of devotional service, in which one of the effects is sudurlabha, like the devotional service is very rare to achieve. So Krishna does not give this devotional, pure devotional service so easily. It is described in the Nectar of Devotion that why He does not give, the devotional service so easily to any particular person. It is very rare, because when Krishna gives a person pure devotional service, He totally becomes surrendered to the devotee. He starts to, dance to the tune of that devotee. So it is, can you imagine that? So Krishna gives Himself when He gives devotional service to a person, or pure devotion to a person. So that's why it is so rare. And it ought to be rare, because then Krishna actually listens and He dances to the tunes of the devotees. He becomes totally surrendered, and I'm trying to remember that verse, Bhakta Janapriya verse, wherein He says that He loses His independence and becomes a puppet in the hands of devotees. So that's why devotional service is rare, because the Supreme Lord gives Himself to His pure devotees, and then that way He is so loving, and He takes care of His devotees, that even when there is an accidental fall down, the Supreme Lord, from the heart, He actually, as the Chaitya Guru, like Prabhupada says, He absolves the devotee of sins, and also the sinful desire, any lurking sinful desire or anything which is there in the heart. So with this, I would like to stop here, and please forgive me if I made any mistakes, and if the volume was too low, and please share your realizations and your comments. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Sukh Sagari Mataji. Please accept my dandavats. Thank you, Mataji. It was such a very, very, very nice, very well-compiled class. You covered all the important points, and to me personally, I was thinking, actually this is something that I was thinking of in the past 2-3 days, about this particular aspect of Prarabdha Karma. And you very nicely substantiated this point that was put down by Rupa Goswami, that when pure devotional service is taken up, even Prarabdha Karma is eradicated. And you substantiated that point with a beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about how, you know, like even people who are born of the dog eater family can actually do fire Vedic yajnas. They become qualified once pure devotional service is taken up. That made so much sense to me. So thank you so much, Mataji, for the very well-researched, well-read-up and such a beautiful presentation. You had worked on so many purports. That was amazing. Sorry, Mataji, actually only at one point, you know, I felt you were, your voice was going down and I was very worried because I wanted to hear every word. So that's why I asked you to speak up louder. I'm sorry about that. But thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you again. Hare Krishna. Very, very nice class. I thought when I read the verses, I was thinking this is such a dry subject matter. How is Mataji going to talk about this? But you did it so well. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Preeti, for your words of encouragement. Like they say, you know, like I was hearing in a class that when a speaker speaks, you know, there are many kinds of audiences and many kinds of listeners. So some of the audience may be in a very high level and very advanced, and for them even like a small you know a point in the lecture may sound very profound because they are at such an advanced level. So all I would like to say is that devotees on this forum are so advanced, and you know, who are regularly listening to Chaitanya Charitamrita and having such a you know, perfect sadhana, that naturally they tend to derive the best from any class, even given by a fool like me. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
The class was wonderful, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Sukhasagari Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Kirtita Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Upriya Mataji. Hare Krishna, Sukhasagari Mataji. Thank you so much, Ashkita Yalakshmi Mataji, for that. It was so well prepared, well presented class, and how you took references, you know, from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for such a, you know, well presented, well prepared class. So just want to thank you. I don't have any question also. But thanks a lot for wonderful class, Mataji. A glory to you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mata, for being kind and not asking the questions, because I don't know if I'll have any answers to your level of questions. And I had already told Preeti to field, you know, any questions by the, you know, callers, by the devotees on this call, because I know, like, everybody is so well-versed and so advanced in their sadhana. So thank you very much for
it's
your
not kindness. About being... Thank you, Mataji, but it's not being about being well-versed. It's that your class was so picture-perfect, you know. It was so self-explanatory that, you know, we hardly have any question. You explain every point. Questions were coming, but then it was answered. So thank you for that well-prepared class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Sukhasagari Mataji, very much for enlightening this class. And you have this like a smooth sailing, and you're just going through very smoothly. So it's very nice. Thank you very much. Perfect.
Thank you, Mataji, for your kind encouragement.
So we'd like to see you, hear you more.
With your kind mercy and mercy of all Vaishnavas, Mataji, I will try to do my best.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else have any question or comment?
Hare Krishna, Sukhasagari Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for taking this class and giving this very, very wonderful message, Mataji, of everything, Mataji. I have written down whatever you told, Mataji, from starting of Varnashrama Dharmas, what is the difference between Varnas and Ashramas, and like Srila Prabhupada's interview, how can you surrender and how much time it will take for us to surrender. starting from there to end of Ajamila, simple activities, Namir Bhakta Pranashati, everything I have written down, Mataji. It was very, very nice, Mataji. Thanks again, Mataji, taking your time and giving this lecture, Mataji. And there are so many beautiful points in this class, Mataji, like how the seeds will fertilize through proper water, and how a pure devotee will become through mercy of God, how he gets this pure devotional service, and Bhagavad Gita's conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, Varna Sankarana, and the pure devotees, how the sins are eradicated by Krishna's mercy, everything Mataji has. Priti Mataji and Kittidan Mataji told Bhagavad Gita's family how he is uplifted because of his, once uttering the name of God, he rises to the level of Brahmana. That is very, very nice point, Mataji. Everything is nice, Mataji. I have written whatever you told, Mataji. Superb, Mataji. Thanks again for this class, Mataji. And my request is, please give your association continuously, Mataji. And can I ask you one question, Mataji?
Yeah, please, Mataji.
Mataji, we usually say like Vaishnava Aparad and some kinds of Aparad. So what is the difference between Aparad and Sin, Mataji?
This was actually, I think, answered by Keshavananda Prabhu in one of his classes. He said that Aparad is, when we do sins in devotional service, like against devotees, like that. And the other mundane sins are generally referred to as sins. So Aparad is, when it is committed against a devotee. What he had explained. That is what is my knowledge.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji.
In the context of devotional service and devotees, it becomes Aparad. But if it is in a very mundane level, it remains a sin. So Aparad is even more grievous than sins. That's what he was explaining.
Okay.
Please, Mataji. Yeah, so he was saying that we should avoid Aparad at all costs, That's what he was trying to say.
Okay. And Mataji, I have a question. Please correct me if I am wrong at any point. So we have seen the Bharat Maharaj life story. So when we are talking about pure devotional service and Krishna is protecting them from their sins at every point of their life, then how did Bharat Maharaj have to take again two births to reach ultimately to Krishna, Mataji?
Bharat Maharaj was at the he was at the position of Bhava, one level less than Prema. That's where he fell down from. But when we say Krishna protects, it was only two lifetimes he had to go through to get liberated. We have to understand that that is nothing in the large realm of things. When we say Krishna protects, what he does is he, gives you another birth where you can actually quickly get over, your sinful reaction you have, and quickly go back to Godhead. So that is what is, when they say he protects and he absolves the devotee of sin. You know, it could take 1,000 lifetimes, or 10,000 or million lifetimes, but Krishna is so merciful to his devotees that, when Bharat Maharaja, Jarabharta, when he was reborn, he was given all the memory. He was a devotee. He remembered all his prayers and he called out for Krishna. So it is like a costless mercy of Krishna that he takes care of devotees. One or two lifetimes in the big realm of things where Krishna's assurance is there, it actually matters to nothing. There is also this example of Mukunda in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he begs for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. I'm sorry if I'm getting the name wrong. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that you will be liberated in 10,000 lifetimes, And then he jumps in joy and ecstasy. He says, wow, I got the blessing, And he says, at least now I know that in 10,000 lifetimes I'll be liberated. So that is a very big mercy of the Lord. So Please, you know, chime in if anybody else has more to offer on this question of Mataji. It's a very wonderful question.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for your deep insights and nice questions.
Mataji, I have a small request, Mataji.
Yeah, please.
After question and answer session, if there is time available, Mataji, can you please sing few verses of Anicca Hridayam?
Sure. Can I sing it in one of the other classes? Is that okay with you? Or today itself you want to hear?
It's fine, Mataji. It's fine. Whenever it's time possible, please, Mataji.
Because I don't do Aditya Hridayam, you know, Parayanam frequently. Once when Preeti Mataji was doing Ramayan, she told me to actually recite, and that was one of the times I did. So it's not something I do very frequently. I may have to look.
Mataji, yeah? Can you please do Sikshashtakam? We'll be so happy if you do it.
You mean now?
If you can.
Yeah, I can do Sikshashtam. That I'm very familiar.
Please, that's my favorite, especially when you sing. It's at a different level. Please, Mataji.
Yeah, I can sing Sikshashtakam, you know, for the pleasure of devotees. Cheto dar. पणमार्जनं भव महादावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयः कैरवचन्द्रिका वितरणं विद्यावधूजीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुधिवैदनं प्रतिपदम् पूर्णामृतास्वादनम् सर्वात्मस्नपनम् परम् विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निजसर्वशक्तिः तत्रार्पिता नियमितः स्मरणे न कालः एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनी नानुरागः तृणादपि सुनीचेन तरोरिव सहिष्णुना अमानिनामानदे
पने
कीर्तनीय सदा
पने
न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनि ईश्वरे भवताद् भक्तिः अहैतुकी त्वयि आई नन्दतनुज किंकरं पतितं मां विषमे भवाम्बुधौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधूलिसदृशम् विचिन्तय नयनं
गलदश्रुधारय वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निचितं वपुः कदा तव नाम ग्रहणे भवेष्यति युगायितं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्रावृषायितं शून्यायितं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्द विरहे आश्लिष्य वापादरतां पिनष्टु मामदर्शनात् महतां करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विददातुलं पतः मत्प्राणनाथस्तु स एव नापरः मत्प्राणनाथस्तु स एव नापरः
Now, thank you, Hare Krishna.
Whose heart Whose heart won't melt, Mataji? Thank you.
Yeah, amazing, Mataji. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. I heard for the first time, Mataji. Thank you so much for singing.
Yes, thank you, Mataji. I think MS Subbalakshmi has done such a wonderful job with this.
My house is
thank you, Mataji. Very good.
Thank you very much, Mataji.
Thank you, Subhagri Mataji. It was so wonderful. So wonderful.
Thank you, Mataji, for your kind encouragement.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. How nicely, how deep, deep devotionally you sing. Please pray for us and inspiring for us that one day we will sing so devotionally like you. Dandavat Pranam. And yes, very nectar in class. Almost Shupriya Mataji cover all the point. Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev ki jai. Dandavat Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji, for your kind words of encouragement.
If nobody has any question or comment, can we end the class here?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanat Pranam, and glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji, for your kind encouragement.
Thank you very much.
Mataji, if it is possible, please give your assistance regularly. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna.
Sure, Mataji, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, can you record and send this, Mataji?
Actually, I can send you a link to the original. MS Subbalakshmi has sung it and it is...
Mataji, it's okay, Mataji. We would like to hear it from you.
It's a million times better.
Please send it, Mataji, with your voice.
Sure, I will try to send, Mataji. Thank you very much for your encouragement.
Hi, Bol.
Hi, Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Can we end the call here? Or anybody has any comment or question, request, whatever? Vanchat kalpata rukyasya vipasindu bhyai vacha patitanam pavanedu vaishnavadyo namo Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Hargreis Sukhasagri Mataji ki jai. All the devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you, Sukhasagri Mataji.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, for the beautiful class. Thank you so much.